You know, in the Old Testament, God always would send an angel to announce his purpose or revelation or whatever he was going to do. But when it came to the New Testament, when Jesus came, the Bible tells us that God identified not with the angels but with man. He came as a man, and he was very man and very God. And he brought the message of salvation to us. No one else could have come as a lamb without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And so in that beginning, God began to minister to his people through his creation, in through man, in other words. And we see this in the New Testament, and even all through history, that God has used individuals to proclaim his ministry. In Philippians, the second chapter, the third chapter, Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend," and that word apprehend means to lay hold on, to grasp, or to make my own, "that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, that I may grasp or lay hold of that for which I am already apprehended of in Christ." And I was thinking about Paul. You know, Paul is to me, a great example of what God has, or what God does with us as human beings. On the road to Damascus, he had papers on himself that gave him the authority to persecute those that believe in the name of the Lord. But on that pathway, he was apprehended of by God. But that weren't when it actually happened, because God had already apprehended him according to his purposes before the foundation of the world. And the fullness of time was come for the message of salvation to be declared to the Gentiles. And God was Paul was the man that God had proposed was going to do that work. And we can look down all through the corridors of history and see where that God apprehended individuals for certain moves of God, or to bring a message into creation, or, you know, to do his work. It's always been man that God has apprehended to do that. And I was thinking about that God, you know, God has, it's a new, unique people when you look at it. Because none of us in this room, I don't believe, chose within ourselves the pathway that we're walking today. We didn't all of a sudden decide in our life that, well, I'm going to leave the denominational church and I'm going to come out and I'm going to take this pathway. That was not it. God apprehended us, laid hold on us before the foundation of the world to be the individual that we are, and to be a part of where we are at this hour. And as I was thinking about that, you know, there's four things that God has given us. God has given us an eye to see. He's given us ears to hear. He's given us a teachable heart. And then He has given us feet that are willing to walk out that He speaks within our lives. So when we talk about eyes to see, we're talking about spiritual eyes. Because all of us begin to see a different pathway that was laid out before us. We were no longer satisfied with the pathway we were walking in. And the things that we were seeing, or the things that we were hearing, or the traditions of men, that we were not satisfied with those anymore. And that wasn't because we chose that. That's because God had given us an eye to see something else. We are looking into the spiritual future. And God is in the leadership of that. And then He gave us ears to hear. You know, in Revelation it says, "Let him that hath an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." God gave us ears to be able to hear His word that He was speaking in the present hour. Now, you think about that. There are individuals that have never progressed no further than the vision and the word that God gave Martin Luther over 400 years ago. That is the only vision that they have been capable of seeing. And that's where God's got them. There are those that have only a vision that was given to the church, or a revelation that was given to the church over 100 years ago in the Pentecostal realm. And they have not progressed no further than that vision over 100 years ago. And we can come right on up through history to the charismatic movement. And you know, the reason of that is because it's not God's time. And the Bible tells us that they could not understand. Jesus spoke in parables, so they wouldn't understand what He was saying. So it wasn't time for them to see. That's what they're seeing. That's all they're meant to see. Is that where they're at? And you can talk until you're blue in your face, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. They won't understand what you see. And that's why I say God gave the eyes to see and the ears to hear. But not only did He give the eyes to see and the ears to hear, but He gave a teachable heart that was ready to receive the word that God was speaking to us. He gave us a teachable heart. A heart that is ready to receive God's word. And when I look at these things, I see how unique it is. God says He has a peculiar people, that we're lively stones being built together for a habitation of God, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. You see, in every generation, God has always had a people. I mean, where we feel like that where we are today is unique, and it is. But think of Martin Luther. In a day when darkness filled the earth, the main thing was you could go to the priest and pay him some money and get penance and go out and commit a sin, you'd already be forgiven. That was the way it operated. They were building St. Peter's Basilica. They were selling penance. And in the midst of all of that, here was one man that the light of the Holy Spirit shone into his life, opened up his eyes, and he saw the words, "The just shall live by faith." And God gave him a heart that was ready to receive that word, and then gave him feet that he was willing to walk in that word. You know, sometimes we don't realize how expensive it, or the cost that it costs an individual to walk in what God has given them. He was punished. He was punished for what he did, for the vision he saw. But yet, in that one instant, with that one man, God started a reformation. And in that one instant, what God did in that one moment of time to see that, that reformation has never stopped. Because God began to restore His Word to mankind. And, you know, not only Azusa Street, there's many instances, not only in this country, but around the world, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Azusa Street was probably the main one, because it began to radiate out from there into creation the message of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But those people paid a dear price. I've told you before, I remember Sister Hattie Edge, a Pentecostal wholeness minister, her and her husband, in Elizabeth City. They pioneered the ministry or the message of the Pentecostal blessing in Elizabeth City. And they rode down the street in their horse and buggy and were pelted with rotten tomatoes and rotten vegetables for the message that they were preaching. That's the price that was paid. And you know, you can come on through the charismatic movement, which we've lived through. Many, many ministers and many, many church members were given the left foot of fellowship and kicked out of their church over something they had no control over at all. Because in the charismatic movement, beginning of it, God sovereignly poured out His Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues on the Methodists, on the Catholics, on the Presbyterians, all denominations. Sovereignly. They were not seeking it, but God sovereignly did it. And they were kicked out because of that. But God has given us the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the teachable heart, and then He's given us the feet that are willing to walk it out. Isaiah heard the Lord say, "Whom shall we send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You see, when God does the work that He's doing in us, in each one of us, preparing us for the manifestation of the sons of God, we see, we hear, we are taught that message. It becomes so much a part of us that we become willing to walk out that word into creation. Creation is going to hear the word of the Lord. I was thinking this week, and I think I heard God in what He was saying, is that when that voice, when God's voice is heard in the earth through that manifested corporate Son, that those people who are part of the religious structure in this hour are going to hear that voice and recognize it as the Son of God, as the Word of God, and they're going to embrace it. I believe that some of the first people are those that are member of churches are going to begin to embrace God's Word. Because they know Him maybe not fully, and so maybe not all the way, but they know the Spirit. I know I've preached in churches that didn't believe what we believe, and they have enjoyed it, and what it was, they knew the life. They know the life of the Christ. They don't understand the message of what's going on, but they recognize the life that is in you and I. They recognize the life. And in this moment, we've said it so much, and I just believe that it's like God blowing a trumpet. You know, He's telling us to come to Him, to arise from where we are, and to begin to ascend in the Spirit. That doesn't mean you're going to rise up off the earth. That doesn't mean you're going to go anywhere. But in your spirit, in that dimension of spirit, you're going to begin to arise in God to a higher plane and a higher dimension in the spirit realm. It's our nature. It's who we are. God says, return to me. How can you return when you've never been? You came out from Him. Churches have revivals. How can you have a revival if you've never been revived? How can you be revived if you've never been revived? You know, God is saying, I'm restoring my word into creation, into this hour. I'm showing you where you are. I'm showing and revealing unto you who you are. I'm pulling back the veil that you can see where you came from. Knowing Him in intimacy means trusting Him with all that you have. If your eyes are always upon the darkness and the crisis and all you see is the storm, you're never going anywhere. Depression will set in. But if you are beholding the King of Kings, and the Word of the Lord is being birthed within you, His Word is being revealed in you, then all that's taking place around us is not going to disturb the peace that we have or the confidence that we have in Him. Paul said, we are those that put no confidence in the flesh. You know, we found that the flesh will fail you every time. We found that looking at the circumstances around us will fail us every time. And my, are they around us? Are the circumstances around us? Are the crisis situations coming more and more, it seems like? But God says, the battle is not yours. God says, the war is over. God says, you've entered into my rest, and you've ceased from your labors. And it goes back to the two words we've talked about before, faith in God and trust in God. Because faith is the evidence of not things not seen. You know, faith, if you see it, it's not faith. But as you come to know Him, you enter into faith, and as faith takes hold, trust. You trust Him. You know, when Peter told Jesus on the water, he said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come to you. He said, come. Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk to Jesus on the water. And the Bible says, but he saw the boisterous waves. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the circumstances. And when he looked at the waves, he began to sink. And he said, Jesus, save me. You know, if we are beholding Him, being changed into His likeness, if we take our eyes off of Him and put them on the storms and the night and the circumstances around us, we're going to become depressed. Because there's no hope in this world. There's no hope outside of God. I mean, if there is, like Paul was talking about the resurrection, if there be no resurrection, we have no hope. You know, if there was no God, we'd have no hope. But because He is the Creator of all things, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, ever with us, closer than the breath that we breathe, we know that we have the promise and the surety that if God be for you, who can be against you? And that He that began the good work in you is going to bring that work to completion. He's going to bring that work to completion. He's going to finish it. As I thought about, I think it was Larry had said something about it. The words came to me, we are destined to victory. God has already predestinated us unto victory. Amen. The battle is over. The war is won. And we have already been predestinated to victory. God is going to unveil His Son, His corporate Son, in the earth. It's going to happen. In the fullness of time, God's going to do it. And we feel like that that's near. We feel like that the way God is moving and working in the lives of His people in this moment, that that is near because God is calling a people unto Himself to turn aside, to shake off the dust, to arise and to ascend in the Spirit to where He is. You know, we live in the reality of life. You can't escape that. God hadn't called us to go to some monastery and sit there all day and meditate and hum or whatever. He hadn't called us to that. He called us in the reality of life. He called us in the midst of the storms. He called us in the midst of the valleys or the night seasons. He called us right where we were. He called Paul when he was on his way to persecute the church. You know, he didn't promise us that there wouldn't be problems in our lives. But He said there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. But what I'll make a way of escape, then that's where we stop there and we shout hallelujah. But that's, God didn't stop there. He said that you may be able to bear it. In other words, that you may be able to walk through it. So that the things that face our lives, no matter how hot the fire may get, or how deep the water may get, or how severe the storm may get, or how dark the night may get, God is there. And God is our Father. And God has promised us that He is going to see us through every situation that we face. He's already predestinated us unto victory. He has already predestinated us unto victory. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it's exciting to me that even the place where we are with all the storms and that, God has given us peace. God has given us joy. God has given us His unconditional love. And God is leading us. He said, I will guide you with mine eye. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, He will teach you all things whatsoever I say unto you. So we have the greatest teacher. We have the Creator, and we have the uniquely begotten Son of God, and they're all on our side. They're all on our side, and we've got that great cloud of witnesses that's there in the grandstands rooting us on, cheering for us. So we cannot lose. We cannot go under. We are going to go over. And God is going to pull the veil back. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, when God pulls the veil back and unveils His Son of the earth, there's going to be people that saying, where in the world did they come from? Where did they come from? Because the Word of God will be flowing out of their mouth into creation to set creation free. And it won't be anything that we have done. It'll be all that God has done within us. So we set our eyes upon the Father. And as we do, the things of this world begin to grow dim and fade away. And as we set our eyes upon Him, He is arising to the noonday position. The brightness of His glory is filling our hearts and our lives as we walk with Him. It's going to happen. It's not just a promise, but it's a fact that God is going to manifest His Son in the earth so that creation can see that which He has done. Amen.